Brothers and sisters, would you turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I do want to say that if you are older, and at some point you have to sit down during tonight's Bible readings, we will understand they're quite long. But if you are able, if you're ready, please stand and we will read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning our reading at verse 26. Hear now the very words of God. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. And now would you please turn to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. To the choir master, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who addressed the words of this song to the Lord on the day when the Lord rescued him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked, the foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked, because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils, and devouring fire from his mouth, glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, thick clouds dark with water. Out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coals of fire broke through his clouds. The Lord also thundered in the heavens. And the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from on high, he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and I have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from my guilt. So the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you show yourself pure. And with the crooked, you make yourself seem tortuous. For you have a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord, my God, lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over the wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You've given me the shield of your salvation. And your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great. You gave a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back till they were consumed. I thrust them through so that they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet. For you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. You made my enemies turn their backs to me, and those who hated me I destroyed. They cried for help, but there was none to save. They cried to the Lord, but he did not answer them. I beat them fine as dust before the wind. I cast them out like the mire of the streets. You delivered me from strife with the people. You made me the head of the nations. People whom I had not known served me. As soon as they heard of me, they obeyed me. Foreigners came cringing to me. Foreigners lost heart and came trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation, the God who gave me vengeance and subdued peoples under me, who delivered me from my enemies. Yes, you exalted me above those who rose against me. You rescued me from the man of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king, and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for these words of life. We pray, O Lord, that you would do a work within us, that you would humble us, that you would encourage us, that you would rebuke us, that you would do whatever needs to be done in your infinite wisdom to conform us to the image of our Savior. O Lord, help us now by your Spirit, for we rely upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, we've been looking at the Psalms, and most of the first 17 Psalms depict for us a cosmic spiritual battle. And David is God's man, And David has been in the very heat of this battle for most of his life. He's been confronted by the Amalekites. He has been confronted by the Philistines. He's known what it is to have detractors in Israel. He knows what it is for his son to hunt him down. He knows what it is to have a nemesis in King Saul. And God rescued David. God delivered David from them all. And that is what we're reminded in the superscription right at the beginning of this psalm. From 1 Samuel chapter 17 with Goliath to 2 Samuel chapter 22, God has delivered and promoted David. And now David has, if you like, he's reached the top. He is at the pinnacle of his reign. He's reached the top. God has prospered him. And we know that because this psalm, Psalm 18, is repeated in 2 Samuel chapter 22. And so we know from the historical context that David has made a name for himself. David has defeated all of his enemies. His kingdom stretches from the Euphrates down to the river of Egypt. He has reached the top. Now, if you were in David's shoes, and if I were in David's shoes, how would we be tempted to respond? What would lurk in the recesses of our hearts? Can't speak for you, but for myself, it would simply be pride. It would be pride. Look at me. Look at what I have achieved, Israel. I'm a success. I've defeated my foes. I am a winner. I would lap up all these people admiring me as I reach this pinnacle of a prosperous reign. And the temptation for David to bask in self-glory would be absolutely huge. And yet, we come to Psalm 18 and it overflows with God-centered praise. It overflows with selfless, God-centered praise. He begins the psalm with verse 1, I love you, Yahweh, my strength. Now this love, this is an affectionate, emotional, exuberant love. This word love, rakam, is an uncommon word. It's definitely uncommon in the form that we find it in Psalm 18. One commentator said that this actually is the only instance of the word love with a human expressing this love for God. And so here's David in Psalm 18 at the pinnacle of his reign. Here's this seasoned, manly man who's chopped people's heads off, and he is declaring his sincere, unapologetic, effulgent, emotional, heartfelt love for God. And just as an aside, I want to say this morning, this evening, that being a Christian is more than a heartfelt love for God. But being a Christian is not less than a heartfelt love for God. Here's David, and at the height of his reign, he begins this psalm by simply declaring his love for God. And then he follows it up with a torrent of names, nine names for God in verses 2 through 3. Yahweh is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, which in the Hebrew is another word, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon Yahweh, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. David, he can't help himself. Pour out praise for God, name after name, and. What he's saying is, I can't say enough about God. He's saying he's all these things and he's more than all of this. And then he grounds this affection in what we'll call electric, poetic testimony in verses 3 through 19. He says in verse 4 and 5, in effect, my enemies had the upper hand and I was about to die. And then he says, I cried to Yahweh and he heard me and he delivered me in verses 6 through 19. And you notice when we read that, just the sheer electric poetry. As David recounted God's dealings with him, the earth rocked, the mountains quaked, his nostrils smoked, he breathed fire, he thundered in the heavens, hailstones came down, coals of fire, he parted the sea. We use the expression, you know, I'd move heaven and earth to such and such. Well, when we read this poetry, God moved. Verse 9, the word there in Hebrew is netah. He moved, he bent, he bowed heaven for David in verse 9. He goes on to say that God drew me out. Now that word for drew me out, in verse 16, he drew me out of many waters, is only used here and then in the parallel account in 2 Samuel 22 and one other place, Exodus 2. When the Pharaoh's daughter, or Moses' mother, by command of the Pharaoh's daughter, drew out Moses from the river. And so here's David, and he's using dramatic poetry, and actually, and we don't have time to go into it tonight because there's 50 verses, over and over he's using language, using imagery that reverts back to the Exodus and to Sinai. And this is David's exclamation marks of praise to Yahweh for his care. And we have to ask the question, well, when? When did this happen? We look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, David and Goliath. There was no thunderbolts that I can remember when I read that story. It was just a smooth stone from a creek bed. We read of the death of his nemesis Saul. I don't remember some sort of tsunami coming down from heaven. Saul fell on his sword. God protected David. God delivered David, by and large, through ordinary providences. And so it's hard not to read verses 4 through 19 and say, David's been a bit of a drama king. Why is David waxing so eloquently in this psalm? I think part of the answer is because his heart is simply overflowing with affection and gratitude and praise. Why not? Why not use this electric poetry? I'm praising my Lord for all he has done for me. I think also part of the explanation is David isn't just referring to his own experience. We flick over and we look at verse 50. Great salvation he brings to his king. He shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring. His offspring forever. We can't help but look beyond David's experience to the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot help but look beyond David's experience to our experience by virtue of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 18 is our story. And our salvation is dramatic. He did nita. He did bend and bow the heavens and come down for my salvation. We think of the incarnation. We think of the voice from heaven at his baptism. We think of the miracles. We think of the transfiguration. We think of the midday darkness at Calvary. We think of the earthquake, the torn curtain, the graves opening and people rising from the dead. We think of the resurrection, the ascension, the second coming, when he will come riding on the clouds. We think of Satan falling from heaven like lightning. And yes, the gospel is dramatic. My salvation is dramatic. God parted the sea for Israel, and he also parted heaven and sent his son down to come and redeem me. Yes, why not use poetic, electric, dramatic language? For the gospel is worth it. And so, up to this point, we're all nodding our heads with David. David's praising the Lord. Yeah, that sounds good. We're with you there, David. We love it how you're there at the height of your reign and you're praising God instead of looking at yourself and your own accomplishments. And then we come to verses 20 through 27. And if anything, it's a wee bit distasteful. David, in effect, says, well, I'm dramatically praising God, but why wouldn't he do all these things for me? After all, I've been so righteous. Look at verse 20. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and his statutes had I not put away from me. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from guilt. So the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. Oh, all right, so you're praising the Lord, but really, why not? Because, you know, you deserved it. Well, again, we have to remember our consideration of Psalm 17 in verses 3 through 5. I use the illustration of our family raking the leaves, clearing our lawn of the leaves. There were still plenty of leaves left over, but it was clear that our lawn had been dramatically cleaned. Those leaves, by and large, had been removed. I think that's what David is saying here, as Dale Ralph Davis puts it. These are not boasts of self-righteousness, but professions of loyalty and overall obedience. David isn't saying that he's sinless. We'll see that next time as we consider Psalm 19. What he is saying is, I belong to you. I'm faithful to you, Lord. I'm loyal to you. And we as Christians this evening, we live in a paradox. We see the depravity of our hearts. Again, quoting Dale Ralph Davis, he says this, listen to this. By grace, we become aware that our own hearts are bottomless cesspools of iniquity. Our minds and imaginations will ponder any filth. Our motives are twisted and self-serving. What seems our most laudable designs are often quests for self-deification. There's a certain misery in regeneration that you begin to see the pervasive and pathetic corruption of your own soul. And all this makes us wary of speaking of, quote, my righteousness. The Christian is a paradox. We have the Apostle Paul who says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. But then we also read Paul saying, be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. Our sinfulness and our faithfulness stand side by side. We have this, at times, awareness of overwhelming corruption, and at the same time, by grace, we're holding loyally onto Jesus Christ. And if anything, we have to learn from Psalm 18 this evening that actually it's not wrong to acknowledge fruit in our lives. It's not wrong to acknowledge an obedient walk with God. It's not distasteful to recognize that God is at work in us, and in one sense, to deny the sanctifying work of God and what he has accomplished in us is actually to belittle, to undermine the work of the Holy Spirit. And so then, God rewards him for his human faithfulness. Deuteronomy chapter 28. We have this list of blessings. When you go into the land, you obey me. This is what I'm going to bless you. Obey me and I'll bless you. Obey me and I'll bless you. There's a former Roman Catholic in our previous congregation who went absolutely nuts. I mean, like mad red in the face. I don't want to talk to you. When I suggested to him that there is a correlation between our faithfulness and God's blessings, I'm not sure what he would do with verses 20 to 27 of Psalm 18. But you needn't worry about that, because David dives straight back into relentless, selfless, God-centered praise in the remainder of the Psalm, verses 28 through 50. I want to notice how emphatic this is, particularly in verses 28 through 30. Look again at verse 28. In the Hebrew, all the yous here are emphatic. For it is you who light my lamp. Yahweh, my God, lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. And then he goes on, and it's like he turns to us. And he wants to tell us. He's been speaking to the Lord, but now he can't help himself. He has to come and tell us about God. Verse 31. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure in the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Who is God? Not me, David is saying. How tempting it would have been for David to say, look at me. But he doesn't. He can't constrain himself as he first begins praising the Lord and then turns to us and says, him, he, not me, him. We think of King Herod as the people cried out, the voice of a God and not a man. Oh, I like the sound of that. The voice of a God and not a man. Not with David. He, Yahweh, he is God. One of the chief reformers in Scotland in the 16th century was, of course, John Knox. And John Knox was asked for an explanation for the Reformation in Scotland. How tempting it would have been to say, well, because of me and other brave and fearless men, the Reformation came about. Oh, because of our preaching, my preaching ability. But you perhaps are familiar with his explanation, a very simple one. He simply said, God gave his Holy Spirit to simple men in great abundance. It wasn't me. It wasn't the other reformers. It wasn't George Wisher. It wasn't Calvin. It wasn't Luther. God gave his Holy Spirit to simple men in great abundance. Not me. He. Calvin led a wonderful life serving the Lord. And he died in 1564. And I put your hand up if you've went over and visited the grave of John Calvin. You've not. Why? It's an unmarked grave. We don't know why, where he was buried. John Calvin wanted it that way. Why? Not me. He is God. To him be the glory. All glory and honor belong to God. And then he turns again in verses 35 through 50 and speaks directly to God again. Verse 35. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great. You gave a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. 10 times he says, you. It's all about God. Yes, I'm in the pinnacle of my kingship. Yes, I've done wondrous things. It's not about me. It's all about you, God. It was all you. You say, well, hold on a second. What about verses 37 and 38? I pursued my enemies and overtook them and did not turn back till they were consumed. I thrust them through so that they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet. Look, there's pride. David's pointing to himself. He couldn't help it. He had to fall into pride. No, he didn't. Look at verse 39. For, because you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. You made my enemies turn their backs to me. Verse 43. You delivered me from the strife with the people. You made me the head of the nations. It's you. It's all about God. So here's David. He's oscillating between witnessing to others and then speaking to God directly. And he goes back, verse 46, the Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation, the God who gave me vengeance and subdued peoples under me, who delivered me from my enemies, and so forth. He cannot help but overflow with praise for God. He's at the height of his reign. He's been a success everywhere he has turned. He's brought the ark back. He's defeated his enemies. He's united the kingdom, the tribes. And all he can do is say, you, he. In the words of Matthew Henry, it was more his honor that he was a servant of the Lord than that he was a king of a great kingdom. This is an important psalm, isn't it? For us. We live in a culture that is all about self-glory. It's all about being in the spotlight. It's all about how many social media followers you have. It's all about cosmetic beauty and celebrity and self-pampering. It's all about you having your best life. Have you noticed time and time again. Companies telling us, hey, you deserve this product. You deserve this product. You deserve this vacation. It's all about having our best life now. It's a self-centered, man-centered culture. And of course, our own pride and our own vanity simply is fuel for the fire. And here's David, he's at the top. How does he respond? He spells 50 verses. I think that's part of the point. Why a whole 50 verses? Break it up nicely into preachable bite-sized portions for us. No, it's got to have a whole 50 verses. Why? Because of him. Because of who he is. Because I can't stop praising him. Because he deserves all glory and honor and praise, and I needed a whole 50 verses to tell him. So Psalm 18 drives us to ask the question, do I care more about what people think of me or God himself and what he thinks of me? Is my concern to have people think highly of me, or like Paul, am I worried that people will think too highly of me? Do I live to redound to God's glory or to my own glory? Can I honestly say he must increase and I must decrease? We think of our Lord Jesus Christ, and ultimately this psalm is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything he did was to the glory of the Father. What shall I say? He said, Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I've come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. We must be like David's greater son. Father, glorify your name. That's why I'm here. That's why I exist. Father, glorify your name. How do we do that? Well, the famous verse by Robert Murray McShane. You remember he said, for every 10 looks at yourself, every look at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ. For every look at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ. And by the way, Robert Murray McShane lived that out. When McShane was over in Jerusalem, a revival broke out in his church, a humongous revival. Maybe not 120,000 people, but a lot of people coming from all over the land. Hundreds, I don't know, maybe thousands saved. And Robert Murray McShane, their pastor in Dundee, wasn't even there. He wasn't even there. He was over in Jerusalem. Oh, but read his diary when he came home and he heard about the salvation of these people in his church. Oh, if it were me, oh, why didn't revival break out when I was there? I wanted to be. No, he didn't care. He didn't care. Oh, glory and honor to God and the salvation of these people at St. Peter's in Dundee. So we look to him. And we look specifically to the cross. Because it's the cross that gives us a more accurate picture of our greatness. It's the cross that shows more accurately how much we can be proud of ourselves. It's the cross that shows us who actually is the one who deserves all the glory. And so I finish this evening with the words of the hymn, when I survey the wondrous cross, what does it say? Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. Oh, glory be to God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we confess this evening that we have accomplished a drop in the ocean in comparison to David, your king. And yet here he is, Lord, and he cannot help but witness to your glory, to your power, to your salvation, your deliverance in his life. He gave all glory to you. Lord, here we are, and we care so much about what others think of us. We care so much about exalting ourselves. We lap up admiration from others. We're so slow to give you all the glory and all the praise. Lord, we pray this evening by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would cause us to humble ourselves, to seek to glorify you in our lives at every turn, Lord, to be able to say and truly mean, I must decrease and he must increase. We need your power, O Lord, to do that. We pray that you would, in Jesus' name, amen.